Please take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13 is found on page 957 in the Church Bibles. First Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. And now please give your full attention to God's inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. May God bless unto us the reading of his holy word. And now please turn to our Heidelberg Catechism reading from Lord's Day 52. We'll begin to cover Lord's Day 52 today. We'll finish it on a future Lord's Day. You can find it in your sermon outline or on page 895 in the Psalter hymnal. Bellingham URC is a Reformed church, and we do not put our catechism on the same level as Scripture, but we do believe that it is a faithful summary of the whole counsel of God, which he's given us in the 66 books of the Bible. I'll read the question, and together let's confess the answer. Question 127. Congregation, what does the sixth petition mean? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil means. We are so weak that we cannot stand on our own for a moment. And our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, never stop attacking us. And so, Lord, uphold us and make us strong by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that we may not be defeated in this spiritual fight, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. Amen. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, what happens when you are tempted to sin? Do you find that you are usually able to endure the temptation? Do you find that you are able to fight against sin and the devil on your own strength? In our scripture text this morning, we see a list of some of the sins with which the people of Israel struggled, sins that perhaps some of us also struggle with. Look at your Bible. Verse 6 tells us that they desired evil. Do you ever desire evil? Verse 7 describes them as idolaters. Do you ever make for yourself an idol? Do you ever treasure anything or anyone else more than you treasure God? Verse 8 speaks of sexual immorality. Have you ever harbored a lustful thought in your heart? Then verse 9 says they put Christ to the test. Do you ever test the Lord? And finally, verse 10 speaks of grumbling. Have you ever grumbled? Dear brothers and sisters, we all are guilty of all of these sins. At times we all give in to temptation, and then often we say, oh, I'll do better next time. But it doesn't always work that way, does it? Perhaps some of you have fallen into the same sin time and again, and you just don't know what to do. You're not strong enough to resist. You need help. And dear friends, that is why we need to pray this prayer, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. However, perhaps the language of this prayer is already a little confusing. Why would we ask the Lord not to lead us into temptation? It almost sounds a little sacrilegious to suggest that the Lord might do so. In fact, some people do have a problem with the wording of the Lord's prayer in this request. For example, the Pope, Pope Francis, recently approved a change to the wording of the Lord's Prayer. Instead of saying, lead us not into temptation, he suggests we should say, do not let us fall into temptation. What do we do with that? Is the Pope right? Was Jesus wrong? Are we wrong to pray as Jesus taught us to pray? After all, James 1:13 tells us, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. So certainly the Lord does not ever tempt anyone. But does he ever lead anyone into temptation? Actually, sometimes he does. In fact, Matthew 4:1 says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So no, God does not tempt us. The devil tempts us. The devil is the one trying to persuade us to do evil, but sometimes the Lord does allow us to be tempted. And when he does that, the Lord is not tempting us. The Lord is testing us. James 1 speaks of testing. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. The Lord our God tests us for our good. When we pass the test, this reveals the power of the Lord's work in us. When we fail the test, this reveals our own weakness and our desperate need for the Lord's strength. The purpose of such testing is that we might grow in learning to trust not in ourselves, but in our gracious and most powerful God. And so testing is good for us when the Lord ordains it. Nevertheless, Christ does not instruct us as Christians to pray for testing. Instead, he tells us to pray, lead us not into temptation. But if testing, if enduring temptation is good for us, then why should we pray against being led into temptation? And the answer is because we must remain humble. Verse 12 of our scripture passage says, therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Be humble. As the Catechism points out, this final request reminds us that we are so weak that we cannot stand on our own even for a moment. One pastor explains it this way. We pray, lead us not into temptation, because only fools would rush in where even Jesus feared to tread. Sometimes the commander has to send his troops into battle. When he does so, the soldiers know that there is no other way to peace than through this war. But only those who do not know the perils of war desire the battle. Friends, do you remember our recent sermon when we looked at the words of Agur in Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9? Agur prayed, give me neither poverty nor riches. And why did he pray this? Well, because one would bring the temptation to be full and deny his need for the Lord. And the other would bring the temptation to steal bread and profane the name of the Lord. You see, friends, Agur's prayer was not only a prayer to receive his daily bread. It was also a prayer that the Lord would lead him not into temptation. Agur knew his weaknesses. He knew that with either poverty or riches, he would be tempted to dishonor the Lord. Therefore, he prayed, "Lord, lead me not into temptation. Keep these temptations away from me, please, Lord." Dear friends, mature Christians know their own weakness. Mature Christians know they must flee from temptation. They don't rush toward the fire, trying to get as close to that fire as they can without getting burned. Instead, they run away. They run the opposite direction. We must not pray to the Lord that He will give us a more challenging test, because we must not think too highly of ourselves. We need to realize that the truth is we are so weak that we cannot stand on our own strength, even for a moment. We must know that we are under a constant attack already, and the tests we do face already are challenging enough. We already desperately need the Lord's strength just to pass those tests, which is why we pray what we do in the second half of the petition. "Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." When we do face temptation, as we inevitably will, "Lord, deliver us from those temptations. Prevent us from giving in. Strengthen us that we might resist." You see, this final petition is quite a humble request. First, we must know our weakness and pray not to be led into temptation. And second, we must know our weakness and pray when we are tempted that the Lord will strengthen us and deliver us from those temptations, from that evil. But from what evil do we need deliverance? Who are our enemies? The Catechism mentions three, beginning with the devil. Who is the devil? Boys and girls, perhaps you imagine the devil to be a scary dragon-like creature with horns, but the Bible actually tells us that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Satan is able to make himself look very good, look very appealing. You see, the devil and his demons are very tricky. They want to deceive you. They want to lead you astray. They whisper things to you like, "Oh, it's not a big deal if you commit just this one sin, just this one time. You can always ask God for forgiveness. And doesn't it give God more glory if He gets to forgive more sins?" Satan wants you to think, "It's not a big deal if you watch that movie. Oh, there may be some bad scenes in it, but you have your Christian liberty, and it's got such a redeeming storyline." Or he says, "It's not a big deal if you miss church just this one time for the kids' sports game or to watch the football game with your friends. After all, when else will you have such a great opportunity to witness and share the gospel with your unbelieving friends?" You see, Satan is tricky. 1 Peter 5:8 warns us, saying, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And he will devour you if you do not depend upon the Lord for your deliverance from evil." The truth, which you have heard many times before, is that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That is not a battle that you can fight on your own strength. You need the Lord. You need His strength. And one way we receive His strength is through prayer. In Ephesians 6, after urging us to take up the whole armor of God, Paul tells us we should be praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. The devil is a great enemy, and we cannot face him on our own. Thankfully, we do have a great God to whom we can and to whom we must pray, "Deliver us from the evil one." Our second sworn enemy is the world. One way the world fights against us is through persecution. Sometimes this persecution is light, it's small. Someone makes fun of you for your faith. But other times it is more serious. Recently in the United States, Christians have faced lawsuits simply for believing what Christians believe and doing what Christians do. Of course, in other places throughout the world, it's even worse. Christians even face the threat of imprisonment, violence, or death because of their faith. In the face of such persecution, we do pray, "Lord, deliver us from the evil of this world." However, outright persecution is not the only way the world attacks us. The world is also trying to seduce us, to infiltrate the church with worldly attitudes. Sadly, the world has been very successful in corrupting once faithful Christian churches and once faithful Christian schools, filling them with false teaching. Today, many professing Christians believe lies about God's creation. They've accepted the lie of evolution. They've accepted lies about manhood and womanhood. They've embraced lies about the gospel, and they've replaced the true gospel with a false gospel, with a social gospel, or a liberation gospel, or some other form of gospel than the biblical gospel. Through his apostles, the Lord warned that this would happen. 2 Peter 2:1 says, "There will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction." Church, we must always be on guard against the world's seduction. The thing is that we tend to be very, very sensitive to persecution, don't we? If the government says we can't meet for church, we get up in arms about that. But are we just as careful to keep evaluating our own thoughts against the truth of God's Word? Are we as determined to guard our own hearts from false and unbiblical teaching as we are concerned about persecution from the outside? This is so important. For when the world infiltrates the church becomes the world. Many so-called churches today are no longer churches at all. They're simply gatherings of worldly people who have embraced homosexuality, transgenderism, abortion, evolution, and all sorts of other wicked beliefs, and yet they still claim that they are Christians. They still claim the name of Christ. And if we think that can never happen to us, then we don't know our own weakness apart from Christ. Friends, which is the greater danger for us? Overt persecution by the world or the church slowly but surely crumbling and becoming more and more like the world? It's not the world's persecution, but the world's seduction, which has destroyed far more churches in America. Then finally, there's our third sworn enemy, our own flesh. I think we can all relate to the words of the Apostle Paul as he describes the struggle within himself in Romans chapter 7. Paul writes, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members." Now you can relate to this, can't you? On the one hand, you want to please the Lord, but sometimes you also want to sin. The fleeting pleasures of sin look so good sometimes. They can be hard to resist. And the reality is, when we sin, we cannot just point to Satan and say, "The devil made me do it." We cannot just point to the world and say, "The world seduced me. It's the world's fault." We cannot say such things because, dear friends, the enemy is not only out there. The enemy is in here. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Brothers and sisters, we constantly feel this. The remnants of sin in us are fighting and fighting against the new nature that the Holy Spirit has created in us. We wonder, why do I do this again and again? I don't understand my own actions. Why did I become impatient with my kids and lash out again? Why did I allow lustful thoughts again to take my mind captive? Why did I allow myself to say those bad words yet again? Why did I choose to be unkind and hurt that person's feelings? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy. We need to pray to God for deliverance from our own sinful flesh. And so, with all these enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, dear friends, where can we find help? Where can we find help? Only from the Lord. We need His help, and we must seek His help. In fact, our scripture text today tells us this. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Friends, sometimes this passage has been misunderstood. No, the Bible never says that God won't give you more than you can handle. He will. He will give you more than you can handle because He wants you to learn to depend upon Him. The good news is that there's always a way out, and that way out is not to trust in yourself, not to trust in your own strength, but it is to trust in the Lord, your God. Your way out is not to seek your own way of escape, but to make use of the way of escape that the Lord always provides. This past week, I was struck by something I heard, and I think there is some truth to it. Think about this. Dear friends, how quick are you to seek that way out from the Lord? Isn't it true that more often when we have a problem, when something isn't going right, we turn to our phones for help? And we go to one another for help? How much easier is it for us to quickly ask Google, how can I deal with my problem, than we are to bring our problem to our pastor, our elders, our parents, or even to God? We're often quicker to do a web search than we are to call upon the name of the one true and living God. Why is that? When He is willing and ready to hear our prayers. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. Why don't we pray to Him? Why don't we seek His help? You have His promise right here. Your God is faithful. Your God is able and willing to help you in temptation, to provide a way of escape. So seek His help. Pray from the heart. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And as you pray this prayer, remember that we do not only pray for ourselves. Your temptations are not unique. We often like to think that my temptations are just so much greater than anyone else's temptations. But no, the Scripture denies that. Your temptations are common to man. We are all in the same boat. We are all in this struggle together. So pray not only for yourself, but pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ as well. Pray, deliver us from evil. And the good news is that He will. He will hear His people who cry out to Him. The second paragraph of our catechism answer summarizes the sixth request in this way. And so, Lord, uphold us and make us strong by the power of Your Holy Spirit, so that we may not be defeated in this spiritual fight, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. In ourselves, we are weak. We trust in our own strength and we will give in to temptation. But Romans 8:37 assures us that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. As we come to a close this morning, that is where I want to draw your attention to Him who loved us, to Christ. You know, there are some people who think that you must clean up your life before you come to church. They think you need to earn the right to be here. But that's not how it works. There's not a single one of us here because we have sufficiently freed ourselves from sin. Rather, we are here because we know that we need the Lord to deliver us from our sins. We haven't earned anything. Christ earned everything. He lived a perfect life in our place. He suffered and died on the cross to pay the penalty for the sins, for all the sins of those who believe in Him. And if you trust in Him, then He has freed you from the guilt of your sins. If you trust in Him, He is freeing you also from the power of your sins. Christians, the good news we have is we have a Savior who knows what it is to endure temptation. We have a Savior who knows just how to deliver us from evil. Look, you have the best possible person to help you through your struggles with temptation in the wilderness of this world. As the Scripture says, He is not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He's the perfect Savior for you. And so, let us cry out to Him. Let us seek His help. Let us, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we rejoice to know that though we are weak, You are strong. You are willing and able to strengthen us when we face temptation, and You are able to deliver us from our enemies. And so, Lord, we do ask You to guard us and keep us. Be a shield for us and protect us from the devil, the world, and our own flesh. Give us Your Holy Spirit and sanctify us so that we might walk according to Your word, resisting our enemies with confidence that by Your grace we will finally win the complete victory. And Lord, please bless us this day as we partake in the Lord's Supper. Grant that we each may become more and more like Jesus Christ, our Savior, as we feed upon His body and drink His blood. We pray that He will impart unto us a greater willingness and strength to resist temptation, as He did perfectly in His life here on earth. Father, please grant us also a Sabbath day's rest and return us this evening to worship You again. Hear and answer us for Jesus' sake. Amen.